Reading that, everybody fine with that? Board declare the reading open, it's now 10 o'clock. The first resolution will be the leave of absence apologies. If somebody could move that we...
Mr. Chair, if I may first, we do have Councillor Greg Armstrong zooming in, so if we could get a resolution...
I'll move it, he does it.
And along the lines, if I could just read out, that Councillor Armstrong be granted permission to attend the board meeting via Zoom due to extenuating circumstances of family laws.
I'm moving because of his sparkling personality.
Second that.
All those in favour?
Aye.
Sorry?
Yeah, now the...
Oh, sorry, right. Now, the leave of absence, at the time preparation anticipates the result apologies have been received. Somebody like to move in a second? Councillor McCann?
No, I'll second.
Councillor Sinclair. Acknowledgement of country, I would like to acknowledge the Wiradjuri people who are the traditional custodians of the land. I would like to also pay my respect to their people, both past and present, and extend the respect to other Aboriginals who are present. Presentations, I don't believe there is any. Correct?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Declarations of pecuniary interest?
None received.
Declarations of non-pecuniary interest? None received. Confirmation of minutes. It's recommended the minutes of the Moody Hill 22 April 21 have been circulated and to the members will be confirmed as a true and accurate record. Can somebody move this? Any comments? If not, all those in favour?
Aye.
Business arising from the minutes? None. Correspondence. There's two items of correspondence that are attached, congratulating Goldenfields on being awarded the Voice Project's Best Workplace Award of 2020. Is that, we need that move? We do, don't we?
No, it's just for correspondence, for information.
Yeah. The next item is a matter of urgency. We have two late reports.
So, Mr. Chair, if I may, if the board could consider these two late reports later in the meeting, one being the August Council meeting date change, and the second being update Rose Hill easement negotiations, which will be in the confidential section. So if we can just show them.
Move Councillor McCann. Second, Councillor Keller. Thank you.
Consider them later.
All those in favour?
Aye.
Notice of motion, rescission motion, there is none, I believe. Chairperson's minute, there is none. The first agenda item is the...
We might go into close actually now. Yeah? So if we can have someone move in second to go into confidential.
Can we move, somebody move to go into close confidential?
Councillor Keller, Councillor Stepmiller.
That's in regards to the uphill.
Yep. Update of the Rose Hill easement negotiations. In the confidential section, the report update Rose Hill easement negotiations. We're in confidential because the advice concerning litigation or advice that would otherwise be privileged from production in legal proceedings on the ground of legal professional privilege. And the resolution of the board was that the board note the updated information.
Can you keep it on track? Page 16, is it?
Yep.
The next agenda item is the council cash and investments. The report is as printed. The council offers a recommendation of the report detailing council's cash and investments as at 31 May be received and noted. Somebody move and second that, Councillor Stadmiller.
Thank you.
Anybody? Thank you. Any comments, discussions? If not, all those in favour?
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Aye. The next agenda item is the progress report on capital works expenditure, the report prepared by the Corporate Services Manager. Council's office recommendation is a report detailing Council's capital works program as at 31 May 21. We received a note. Somebody move. Any comments?
Mr. Chair, it's very pleasing to see that the capital program is even though it's been readjusted, is certainly progressing very well. And I note that renewals are at 141%. I think that's outstanding. I congratulate the general manager and his staff.
I think the engineering staff should be acknowledged too for their ability to put this on the table. All those in favour?
Aye.
Next agenda item is a debt recovery report for the Corporate Services Manager. Council Office's recommendation is that the board receive and note the updated debt recovery. Can you move? Councillor Callow, thank you. Sinclair. Any comments?
Johnson? Can I just ask a question on the debt recovery? Are they mainly private individuals or are they companies that we're in?
They'd be both.
Both, yeah.
A combination of both. The $823,000 was as of the end of May, and as of yesterday, it's $501,000. So it's dependent on late payments, when final notices go out. $45,000 has been recovered since the debt recovery process has recommenced, and we're currently issuing pending restriction notices on any properties with a debt in excess of $1,000. So that's currently
that's just threshold.
Yeah, that we're looking at the moment.
Through the chair, Jared, at the moment we're doing all this debt recovery in the house, aren't we?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
And you'll note there that at the moment there's 18 properties with restrictors on.
Mm-hmm.
So they're rather effective, aren't they, Jared?
Yes, they are, yeah. That's why the $43,000 came in. Improves their resolution to resolve the matter.
Just a question. The bulk council is $355,949. What's going on there?
That would be current charges.
Okay.
So it's current charges of that, then developer charges are due and payable when the property is sold.
Okay.
Through you, Mr. Chair, are there many people taking up our hardship payments?
Through the Chair, to Jared.
Rather infrequently.
Right.
I think it's probably been about 3 months since I've seen one. Right. So it does come up. There's certainly a focus on getting them onto arrangements. And direct avenue,
yes.
Arrangements, that's one of the other tools that we use in this. Thank you.
Just wondering whether it's hardships or all the people are just being belligerent. That's all.
I'd say a combination of both.
Mm.
There's no further questions or comments. All in favour?
Aye.
Next item is Councillor and Chairperson fees for 21-22. The Office's recommendation is the Council and Chairperson fees be increased by 2% for the 2021 financial year as per the Local Government Remuneration Tribunal determination dated 23-21. The annual remuneration for the 21-22 is the Council at $10,089 and the Chairperson at $16,571.40. Can somebody move?
I'll move. Can I move the recommendation?
Seconded. Councillor, thank you.
I think that, I suppose it's against the government act, but the deputy has to incur pretty much a lot of all expenses, especially when they're on county council and you're living distances apart from the chairman, but you're not in the same town, so is there any way that we can make a to do something about that? I don't think it's fair as it is.
If I may...
You can't mock it.
Well, I probably would, in the sense that, if I may, through the chair, that there is reimbursement by way of expenses, if necessary, if I have to. But the chairman tends far more matters than perhaps I would. So I would suggest it's where it is.
If I may, through the chair, if I can take that question on notice, I'll find out the legislation if it permits that.
It probably doesn't.
We do it. It
doesn't with
the
normal council.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Look, I'd like to see us leave it as it is and not take the 2%. I think we're well and truly compensated for the amount of time that we have to put into the Golden Fields. I mean, it's only meeting every second month, and there's, might be a couple other meetings outside that, but compared to our GP councils and the work we have to put in there, it's a similar, well, in our case, a similar amount of money. And this tomorrow council this year, we didn't take our 2% rise. We were the same as last year. I'd like to see us leave it as is and not take the 2%.
Any further?
I disagree with that, because you'll have new councillors coming on, new representatives after September. Some of us might get back, or might want to sort of go on representatives. So I think that we can't really. You don't know the financial situation of different people. I always find that personally it's not going to affect me, but I find that quite difficult speaking for other people, making these statements, because if the rise is there, it's not going to affect an organisation this size. I don't think it makes all that much
difference. I'm not saying it does, but I just think it's we're taking the maximum amount, really, and I don't think it's right myself.
If I may, through the chair, I sort of concur with Councillor Sinclair's thoughts on it, but the biggest issue that comes from it is when you make the decision not to take the mandatory increase. In the future, a future council may decide to take the mandatory increase, and this actually happened in Goldenfields some time back, and that, rather than being a small amount, became a large amount to get up to the minimum again, if that makes sense. So rather than making it a small increase as per the recommendation of the government each term, it became quite a significant increase that looked quite bad as far as the council appeared in the future. So I'm always in favour of taking the absolute minimum that we possibly can. Is
so putting up fees and charges the minimum always instead of getting a big hit.
Yeah, but in this case we are taking the maximum amount in the range of this council.
So well, it's no much as recommended.
I may be reading this incorrectly. I prefer the general.
Well, through the chair, there's ranges mentioned there in the table.
Yeah.
So minimum to maximum.
Yeah.
And we're near the max, but we're not on the max.
Yeah, right. We're taking the minimum.
Councillor Sturman, I'm just inclined to agree with Councillor Sinclair. At the most recent council meeting prior to last night, so I moved to bring down the council remuneration. Got some support around the table, but didn't get up. But I can see where you're coming from. So I agree with you on that part.
Sorry, be aware of it. I was going to say apologies, Matt, but if I may, the other thing we need to consider, if I may again through the chair, is the decision by the state government on superannuation for councillors, and the impact that will have on future councils. I'm totally against the idea, but it may well be that by taking the minimum with the 2%, that will factor in what will have to be paid as superannuation by the organisation in future years. As I say, I'm against the superannuation proposal, but it's obviously now coming in, and all small councils are either going to have to find that extra money to pay the councillors, or councillors decide to take the superannuation component out of what is the minimum payment. Yeah. So by allowing that 2% mandatory increase, at least it will soften the burden when the superannuation comes in.
Well, as it sits at the moment, we have a resolution which has been moved and seconded. We'll put that to the vote. Who's in favour of as printed? So it's a majority. That's a majority, so I'll declare it carried, correct? Thanks for the debate. The next item is the audit and risk and improvement committee report. Council's office recommendations the board receives and notes the minutes of the audit risk and improvement committee held on 27 May 2021. Somebody move.
I'll second.
Councillor McCann. Any comments, questions? Just a comment, if I could, just on page 27. Under the recommendation of dot point 8, with a possibility of a new board coming in September, well, there will be some new members, it's very important that dot point 2 be considered, that every constituent council representative be made aware of the obligations of a board member of Golden Fields. Yeah. Is for the best interest financial model of Golden Fields County Council, not necessarily of their constituent council. Mm. I just believe that that really needs to be driven home for the new board arrives. Mm.
Absolutely. Mm.
And if I may, through the chair, the report that they refer to in the minutes is a report I prepared following on from Councillor Sinclair's question at our last meeting in regard to the composition of the board with both councils, asking for putting the issues forward and asking for the audit and risk to consider it and make the appropriate recommendation back to council. So hopefully that will happen at the next meeting.
Through the chair, it'd be good to have something like this put to the GPs before they elect the next person that comes here. So I don't know how you're going to do that.
I don't know how we achieve that.
Through the chair, the last time around, so nearly 5 years ago, we sent out a 2-page flyer on Golden Fields and responsibilities of a board member. So we might strengthen that just with a letter.
Yep.
And then touching on that when board members come here, they represent Golden Fields, not their constituent.
Yeah, good.
Mr. General Manager, can I make a suggestion in regard to the best way of ensuring that occurs?
Yep.
And that is to ensure that every recommendation that comes to the board is tied back to the corporate risk register. That way, an action is tied to a benefit or a risk that is recognised by Golden Fields, rather than maybe recognised than perhaps by one of those constituent councils. I think that's an excellent opportunity to remind board members that their role on this board is to represent Golden Fields Water and its LGA rather than their own constituent councils.
Thank you, Councillor Armstrong. Any further comments, questions? If not, all those in favour? Next agenda item is the PPO 22 Enterprise Risk Management Policy. Council officers' recommendations, the board adopts PPO 22 Enterprise Risk Management Policy. Somebody move. Councillor McCann, second. Councillor Sinclair, thank you. Comments? Statements?
So, through the chair, you'll note that there's a number of policies coming up. We're just in that renewal phase, reviewing them, sorry. This one was back in October 2018. Just went to the Audit and Risk Committee at the last meeting. And it's just up for adoption now.
All those in favour?
Aye.
Next agenda item is PP025, which is our bad debt policy. Report prepared by the Corporate Service Manager is that the board adopts PP025 bad debt policy, which is printed on the following pages. Somebody move. Second. Councillor Morris.
Yeah.
Any comments or questions? If not, all those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. Next agenda item. How many of these?
It's a nice one.
Is the PP030 corporate credit card policy. The council officer's recommendation is that the board adopts PP030 corporate credit card policy. That's printed. Anybody move? Councillor Sinclair. Seconded. Councillor Stadmiller, thank you.
Through the chair, if I may, just draw your attention to the last paragraph in the report section. We're just mentioning the change there is to do with ProMaster.
Yeah.
We've got a system in place that processes the does the reconciliations for the credit cards. It's a rather nifty app on the phones these days. Staff can just take a photo of the receipt and go straight into the system, and then it's referred on to management to then approve.
Just a question or a comment. How many credit cards does Golden
Hills got? Basically, every staff member has a credit card, and they have limits on them. And we've had those discussions previously, but they're the best way to manage, as being mentioned before, the expenses. It's easy to process, and it's assigned to that staff member. So, some councils have issues where you just go into the hardware store, get stuff. And who signed for that? Who's that signature? This is very clear. It's tied to the staff member.
And through the chair, the taking photographs of the receipts is such a good idea, because we've had auditors come before in the past, and it's a nice piece of blank paper you've got there, and
at the same time, puts onus on the manager who's to sign off too, to vet each of those to ensure that they comply.
Chairman, in the case where a staff member buys something and they can't get a receipt or invoice for it or something, what makes me think, I had to go to Sydney last week with one of the staff members and in a parking bay, and when went to leave to pay, he couldn't get a receipt.
That's dealt with a statutory declaration. I just didn't see anything about
that debt's really in here, that's all.
Right. From the policy, there's also a procedure that he's got the limits and those requirements in there as well.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And that's pretty infrequent that you will see
someone's
missing that.
Okay, with no further comments or statements, all in favour?
Aye, mate.
Carried. Next item is a valve maintenance program report prepared by the operations manager. That the ongoing valve maintenance program report be received and noted. We have a mover, Councillor McCann, second. Councillor Keller, thank you. Comments, discussion, questions? The man at the end of the table bursting with knowledge, waiting to respond.
He's all but got through all the valves, there's only a handful left.
I don't think the public realise how many valves go
Golden Fields have got close to 9,000.
Yes. Right. So the question through the chair.
Just be good.
To the manager of operations, it's taken us 2 years to get around, and when do we start that 2 year cycle again?
Sydney.
It's not like the Sydney Harbour Bridge, is it?
Yeah. Out of all those vows, I'd say about 2% would have been replaced and refurbished. It's not too bad.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
That's nearly one valve per customer.
It is.
Not quite.
Not quite.
0.7.
Any further questions or comments? If not, all in favour? Gary. Next PP 829 is the private works policy. The report prepared by operations manager. Council officer recommendation is that the council adopt PP 829 private works policy as printed. Somebody new? Councillor McGlynn, thank you. Second. Councillor Sinclair, thank you. Comments? Statements? Questions?
I guess through the chair, question maybe for Jared, how often do we do these?
Probably less than 5 a year, probably.
Yeah. So right.
Not very often, and some of them will be general purpose councils, not one block councils.
Yeah.
So that's what would happen.
There's no further comments or questions, all in favour? Carried. Next item is the water production report. The council's office recommendation is that the water production report be received and noted. Somebody move. Councillor McGlynn, thank you. Second. Councillor Armstrong, thank you. Questions, comments?
We have a substantial loss of income.
I'll just make a comment, as Councillor Armstrong made us aware some meetings ago, our revenue stream is certainly under pressure here. That's the lowest I've ever seen in water production for Duke.
It is definitely the lowest.
But I've never seen it that low, so we must have very water-wise recipients through our network.
Yes.
So it's going to be very challenging in the coming years if this weather continues with our revenue stream under pressure and our rising costs.
Through the chair, on that question, just the after what we're allowed to use and what we do, can we have that as keep that as carryover water for the bulk?
Yeah, I think that's it.
So
through the chair, we've been looking at options to see how we can sell that water temporarily on the market. In the current environment, it's not that good, but a year ago, it was like, 600
million? Yeah,
right. Now, it's town water, but there are others, and one of the key points is having a IWCM, and we're currently working on that. It's probably 12 months or so away, but that's one of the key criteria, which it will then indicate whether you have spare capacity or not to be able to then sell it on the market.
Yeah.
But I think in Joongong we have, about 1,500 vigs, somewhere thereabouts.
Yeah.
So in a drought, that's substantial, external or additional income that we could source if we could sell it.
Yeah. Because it's high security water, and that's traded at over $1,000 a meter. And there's a number of councils that are doing that.
What are they doing?
Unused water, selling on that market.
So it's something that we've been looking at for the last 2 years.
Yeah, but even updating that to come later, I mean, we don't even use, we're in a dry time.
Many years ago, two previous boards looked at doing something like this, but we were made aware that if the water is unused and not wanted and you've got it for sale, maybe your extraction licence is too large. Our extraction licence at the moment has got a good buffer zone to facilitate future development within our network.
Yep.
And we've got to be very cautious to protect our current allocation.
Yeah, but I mean, We do have wet years.
We do.
And what?
No,
so there is an average year, an average use. Anything below that is should be able to use again in as an extra allocation in a drought. You can't do that.
That's equivalent. Sorry, through you. That's equivalent to carry over, which we're not allowed to do.
Anyway, it's just an observation. I've never seen that low. Jared, you'd be aware of the records for some many years, wouldn't you?
Yes. Yeah. 2010-11 was the lowest year, and this is substantial. But there's a couple of factors there. Back in 2010-11, the young abattoirs would have been in operation. Also, the Kumunga abattoir operation. There are factors why it's so low. And the other fundamental change in our water losses are less now than they were back in 2010-11.
That's correct.
So that's another when you look at it. It's going to be about 7,500 megalitres of sales this year, based on today's final week of the year.
So that's a lot of money, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Right. Unfortunately, it happens when you have a wet year. The issue is whether we're going to have a subsequent wet year, like 2011-12, was also a wet year, and then that impacted on fundamentally with that. So we're hoping that it doesn't happen.
Councillor,
we've basically had 15 months of wet weather.
Mm. Councillor Armstrong.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've listened to Jared's comments there, and I think that they're very pertinent. I think one of the things that this does highlight is the need to establish an ongoing demand. Well, there is an ongoing demand for a fluctuation reserve. That's topped up every year rather than only in those big years, because if we get two or three wet years in a row and or high rainfalls versus the number of wet days in the year, then you can see that there's a very significant difference in the demand for water there, and that's our income. So we need to have a buffer there, I think, in the future.
I think at the moment our sales fluctuation fund has been exhausted, hasn't it?
I believe it has. It was 2 million at the start of the year, and we've depleted it to soften the blow. And that's something, we do have some significant unrestricted reserves there that we could top it up the end of financial.
Through you again, would it not be, it'd be a very difficult challenge, but high security water users can carry over water. Would it not be pertinent to lobby the water minister that we could carry over water then on these wet years like that? We could either trade our water or let it stack up and have a water reserve for a drought year. Just putting it out there.
It is.
We'll leave that comment to the chair.
Through the chair, we might take that comment on notice.
Right.
Put us on just given that we do have still, we do have allocation and it's high security.
Okay. Through the chair, how often do we have these water wise campaigns, etc., etc.? How do they affect us? Do they?
Water wise was the implementation of our electronic meter reading, and people became very aware of water leaks and their excess bills. That did cost Golden Fields considerable income because people were aware that they were wasting water.
Well, it's taken on.
It's a good outcome, but it's not good for our
bottom line. Not good for our business model.
Through you, Mr. Chair, just taking up on what Councillor Morris said, I do think there's some value in starting that dialogue or slash fight, because invariably when we're in drought years, we sit around this table and we talk about fees and charges and whether we should put charges up because it's due to go up, and we invariably say that people are in drought and they need relief and whatever. And there might be some need to look at how we're classed as a water supplier in regional New South Wales with drought as an ever threatening factor in what we do.
Increasing factor.
Yeah.
Well, it's through you again, Mr. Conway. It appears that the rules got changed a while ago with carryover, so that the Macquarie Banks and the corporate of this world can carry stuff over, and yet a genuine town water supply, you can't carry over. Someone
so that's a double standard.
One can carry over, or we all can.
It might be a long battle, but I think it's one starting and asking the question.
You've got to start a fight somewhere.
Sometimes our technology just benefits,
yeah. If there's no further questions or statements in regard to the agenda item, all those in favour?
Aye.
Harry. The next item is the Jukyong High Voltage Upgrade. I'm not going to sit here and read all this. I hope everybody's read it. We might ask the general manager to make comment, but first somebody move and second. Councillor McKean. Councillor Keller, I think. Mr. General Manager, a short overview. This is huge.
Okay, I might hand it over to Jeff in a moment, but as you're well aware, as the gist of it is, you're well aware that we're doing our high voltage upgrade.
Yeah.
And we went through a tender process where we come up with Schneider as the provider suppliers of the hardware there. And we've gone through, we've sought legal advice to see how we want to do the same setup in Jukyong, and you've got one and two, but again, you don't want to have different supplies of products in this sort of specialty. You want to have the same gear at each site. It's also interchangeable in an emergency should you need to grab something to another site. So I think that's in a nutshell. I'll hand it over to Jeff to add further comment.
Yeah, through you, Mr. Chair. That's basically correct. So throughout the delivery of the Yarra HV project, we have two additional sites, HV sites. So not many utilities or councils actually operate their own HV sites themselves. They usually have step-down transformers to get to normal residential power, 415. Whilst the Yarra project was being undertaken, we were also doing the Jukyong 1 and 2 sites investigation for design and delivery of those two sites as the next stage. And part of that process was we identified that the gear could be sized exactly the same as the Yarra ones. And in doing that, that gives us the ability to then have interchangeable assets. So, like Aaron mentioned, the exact situation would be if we had a failure of a certain asset, we could literally pick one up that's sitting there not being used for Jukyong and move it to Yarra to keep that operation up being undertaken. If we were to change to an alternate supplier, it's completely different gear, but it's also completely different sizing and things like that as well, which affects the design and the footprint of the buildings and things like that as well. So part of this process would be that we have a great understanding of what gear we've got. We've already got a design because we're building it now. We know that if we can use the same gear, basically everything that is being built out of, we can all but shift to Jukyong with a few design changes and things like that. So considerable cost savings as well. And obviously training for our staff. Now, HV hardware in here, it's well and truly above my head. Blue sparks to me, so. But our electrical team are really good, they're great, they're capable. However, being trained on that one specific asset for switching and things like that makes it so much easier and safer as a manager to understand control for our staff. Having variable gear and across the scheme, it can be very hard, and we end up using a lot more contractors than need.
Just a comment. The variable speed drives, are the old pumps at Jukyong compatible with that sort of new technology?
Long story short, it's more than motors that are impacted. The big change is that the current or the existing pumps that are there are not suitable on the base that they're already off their curve. so they're inefficient. So it must have been 15 years ago we undertook the upgrade, might have even been longer, upgrade of the pipeline from the treatment plant up to number two, Rose Hill. But when they increased that pipe size, they didn't change the pumps, and by doing that, we've been having to maintain these two large pumps. Every 2 years, we basically have to rebuild them. It costs around $120,000 every 2 years to rebuild. They just chomp out because they're inefficient. So we will be having to look at a replacement for the Jugeong 1 site. However, Jugeong number 2 site, we will be using, hopefully, it's intended to use the existing pump arrangement and a variable speed drive system. So there could be considerable savings there.
That's what I was about to say. Should constitute considerable savings for us. Okay. Any further questions or statements, comments?
Yeah, I don't know if I understand this properly, but it just, that all makes sense, and the way should go. The amount of money involved, though, I would have thought we'd nearly have to go out for a tender again. How do you get around that, Bob?
Through you, Mr. Chair. That 100% correct. It most definitely should go for tender in that aspect. The reason for this report is a request for the exemption of tendering on that basis, and that's why we undertook that legal advice, and apologies for the length of the actual recommendation, but that's based directly off that. And it was because of two reasons. One being obviously the extenuating circumstances for considerable savings and training and obviously the usefulness of maintaining a single supplier. But also on the basis that we have previously tendered recently, and through that tendered process, there was only one conforming bid being Schneider, and that they were deemed value for money at that stage of tendering process. So it gave us the ability to say, hand on our heart, we have tested the market, and Schneider were the best as part of that process, and as long as they can come back to the party in a similar pricing arrangement, then we would feel very comfortable in proceeding with that.
That's good. I'm surprised that they still had to do it, that's all.
I'm on your campaign, Councillor Sinclair, and it is a thought of mine that if, when the market hears we're going this way, we are technically and legally covered not shield for a pre-tender. That's the implication that I was concerned with.
Well, through the chair, that's why it's in the public forum.
Okay. Yeah, very good.
Any further questions or statements? If not, all those in favour? Carried. Next agenda item is the Nengus business case. Council's office recommendations and board notes the outcome of the Nengus business case. Can somebody move?
Move that way.
There you go. Mr. Armistrong, a second to Councillor Keller. Right.
Just a question.
Any questions or statements?
Population of Nengus, how many connections was it?
Around about less than 50.
Less than 50. 16 currently connected. I think it was up to 45, but the design left
for it. Any further comments? Questions? I just think we're at a stage where we know that we've done all we can do as far as the project goes. We've done the business case and refer it back to Cootagunda guy for just further discussion on how they want to take it.
All in favour? Carried. Next item is the PP012 recognition and gifts policy. The Council Office's recommendations of the board adopt PP012 recognition and gift policy as printed. Somebody move. Councillor Sinclair, Councillor Keller, thank you. Questions? Comments? All in favour?
Aye.
Carried. Getting busy on these policies, Mr. Chairman. The next agenda item is the PP023, which is a workplace surveillance policy. The Council Office's recommendation is that the board rescind PP023, workplace surveillance policy. Now, move and second. I've got a councillor McCann. Second. Councillor Keller. Comments? Questions?
Through the chair, we're just looking to make it a Manix one, given that it's not public places, it's workplaces, and it involves staff.
Is everybody happy with the outcome then?
Yeah, I guess it's the obvious question, what is the workplace surveillance policy? And
I've never seen one.
That's why there's some silence in
there.
What's going on? Who's hiding in the woods?
We're just trying to standardise the policies. Look, there's some councils that have 60, 70 that are, you know, public, and then some that only have half a dozen. We're trying to reduce the all those that make sense that are just staff-related work ones. The Manix one instead of, you know, community policy. And our workplace surveillance policy, although it's not here, just deals with a couple of times we've raised it. You've got, you know, your mobiles, your laptops. The same too with vehicles. We did it some time ago where we gave staff notice and then we put GPSs in to do the FBT. We've also, I think it's 14 days notice if we put cameras up. So we've got cameras over at the stores and we're looking at potentially some of the other depots. So we have to give staff notice leading up to that. And it's only used for, you know, if there are issues. People aren't to be dialing in and viewing all the time to see what their staff are up to. It's only if we need to chase up after an event.
So if I can, through the chair, so the general manager, you as the general manager, are the approving authority. Should this policy need to be used, so it doesn't need to come to the board for approval?
Exactly.
Okay.
And their operation.
Yeah.
That's
a wording. Operation.
Mm. There's no further questions or statement. All those in favour?
No.
Carried. Next agenda item is PPO 17, Equal Opportunity Policy. The recommendation is printed. The board adopt the PPO 17, Equal Employment Opportunity Policy. Somebody move. Questions, comments, statements? If not, all those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. Next agenda item is the adoption of the 2021 to 2022 operational plan. The Council's Office recommendation is the Council adopts the 2021-22 operational plan as exhibited on public display. The fees and charges be made for the 21-22 year as detailed in the adopted 21-22 operational plan fees and charges schedule. Somebody move?
Second.
Second. Councillor Armstrong, thank you. Comments, questions?
Through you, Mr Chair, just the General Manager, any comments received from the general public in relation?
No,
Mr Chair. Through the Chair, not this time.
How unusual.
Just drawing the board's attention to that the fees and charges are going up 3%, so almost 3%.
No other questions, comments? All those in favour? Aye. You've extinguished the debate, so.
That's report number three.
Sorry? Yep. So the next agenda item is the Extraordinary Council Meeting. The recommendation is the board consider a suitable date to hold an extraordinary meeting of council to consider the Downing Road materials tender prior to the enforcement of the caretaker mode. Sorry. Move.
I'll move it.
Councillor Gloom and Councillor Stradmiller. Thank you. Comments? Statements?
Do we wish to consider that report in relation to the lab report?
Yeah, so we might, through the chair, we might do this one first and then the second meeting. If everyone's got a copy of their calendar, just to see how we stack up. So we've suggested in the report the first week there in August, and realising that we can't do anything within a month prior, and the election is on
4th of September.
So we're looking at, I guess, the Monday or the Tuesday. Are we able to do that? So that's just one item.
Tuesday would be better for me, but
First Monday or Tuesday, and we just need to make sure that there's the majority of you here.
We need a call.
Otherwise, we have to wait till the October meeting to consider it.
Okay. The implications of that, I believe, you would not be able to get materials possibly till next year. Mm.
That would be the case, yes.
That would be bad.
Yeah.
So
we need a majority to agree on a date.
Tuesday would be better for me, but I can do it.
I'll move for Tuesday.
And then what sort of time?
Same.
It should only be a 15-20 minute.
Same.
10 a.m.
So 10 a.m. on the Tuesday the 3rd?
Yeah.
Councillor Armstrong, you fine?
No, I'm good. I've got a regional economic development committee that night, but in the morning I'm fine.
Good morning, thank you.
If I make through chair to the general manager, would it be appropriate to add into the motion to allow councillors who may wish to enter by electronic means Zoom?
Through the chair, I think it's only exceptional circumstances with sickness or COVID related.
Okay.
Yeah, no, if you're also sick. If you're sick, you'll have a snooze, Councillor Morris.
Yeah.
All right, if everybody's point with Tuesday the 3rd at 10 a.m. All those in favour? It is important that we get a call themselves, so we could really concentrate on the day. Okay. The next ordinary meeting.
Sorry. Now we've got a bit of late report about changing the next meeting date. This
one. Right.
It's very sick.
We are
re-rocking our meeting.
Correct. The next agenda item is the August Council meeting date change. There's a report by the General Manager for the Council's considerations that the Board consider an alternate date for the August ordinary meeting because both the Chairman and the GM will be.
I'll move it.
Moved, Councillor McGreen. Seconded. Mr. Keller. Comments, discussions?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Chair. Thursday the 19th, which is the Thursday beforehand, would be okay for me as Coolman Shire meets at 2, but what about tomorrow?
Meeting starts at 4, but we'll do it at 3.
So if we met at 10 o'clock on the...
Yeah.
On
the
19th,
you want to go?
Well, I'm thinking the 19th. It's
all right.
It's only Graham and I.
Councillor Sinclair, can you fit that in?
Is that the suit?
Yeah.
I'd imagine we'd be finished by lunch time.
What time is yours, sir, David?
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
Yeah. What time is yours?
The meeting goes at 4, but we do have another one at 2 o'clock beforehand.
Yeah.
Or 2:30 if we have.
Yeah, so the issue is to the financial statements.
Okay.
The earliest will be the 16th. And then just getting them out in the agenda.
Yep.
That's going to be pushing it. What about that? So we're away the 26th, 27th, three of us.
Yeah.
So what about that week of the 22nd? Yeah. Is that?
24th.
The 24th?
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's Tuesday the 24th, 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would that work?
Yeah.
So if everybody's in agreement, August the 24th, which is a Tuesday, 10 a.m.
Yep.
Yeah. All those in favour?
Aye.
Right, carried.
So the first and fourth.
So the next meeting is, as we just discussed, we change that date to the
24th
of August. So that's done.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Now close for the business. What is it, mate?
11:07.
11:07. Meeting closed.